So from what I've seen in terms of, asking investigators, surveying investigators, it seems like people have flipped over into this being the standard of care in general. I mean, there are exceptions to every rule, but is that the way you see it?
Yes, clearly. So this completely will change management. This will be an additional opportunity. We are now in the next step. So our question would be, if we have this tremendous effect in consolidation, what about moving immunotherapy a little bit earlier and together with the chemoradiotherapy? So we currently are performing trials investigating the combination of immunotherapy and radiotherapy, investigating the combination of chemoradiotherapy and immunotherapy, and we are generating our first signals of efficacy and perhaps more importantly, our first signals of tolerability.
And, I don't know how many neoadjuvant IO alone trials there have been, but I know there was one that came out of Memorial where they had patients who actually had resectable lung cancer and they gave them an IO pre-op and they saw pretty interesting benefit. What about just using an IO before chemoradiation? I don't know, to bulk reduce or see what happens, particularly if you have a high PD-L1 level.
I think it's interesting. I think that there are a lot of trials going on coming from radiotherapy to determine the optimal timing of radiotherapy and immunotherapy. So I think it seems to matter how you deliver radiotherapy and immunotherapy and what schedule you deliver these two treatment modalities to the patient. Coming to the neoadjuvant trial, this has been really also quite exciting. The patients received two shots of nivolumab within 6 weeks, and the radiologic response was not so impressive. It was 10%, but they had a pathological response in more than 40% of the patients, and this is quite a very important signal. So we are now trying to understand the signals. There are more trials ongoing investigating neoadjuvant immunotherapy or neoadjuvant immunochemotherapy, but this is clearly the area where indeed we are hoping to increase the number of cured patients, the cure rate of non-small cell lung cancer.
Right. What you were saying about the quote response, I guess it seemed like there were tumors that maybe didn't shrink or shrink enough radiologically, but then when they looked pathologically, there was no viable tissue.
Indeed, this was the major finding.
And have there been any other data sets other than that Memorial one that were similar to that?
So far, not. So I know that by autumn we will see more data sets, but so far I haven't seen any more data sets which have been published.
And again, just getting back to pragmatics. So if you have a patient who's locally advanced disease, maybe they're a non-smoker, they've got EGFR mutation or ALK, for example, are you going to offer durvalumab?
Yes, I clearly would. Because in stage three, we do not clearly know the efficacy of targeted therapies. There seems to be a difference between metastatic and locally advanced disease. And in that case, I clearly would offer, even with an EGF receptor mutation, those patients durvalumab as a consolidation treatment.
So let's talk a little bit about toxicity. You mentioned the concern that was out there initially about pulmonary toxicity, which we didn't see. But the truth is, you might see pulmonary toxicity just from chemoradiation. And maybe, I don't know, have you found that there are situations where you're not sure, patients having some kind of pneumonitis, maybe exacerbated COPD, whatever, and you're not sure whether it's durvalumab or not?
Well, I think this is one of the difficulties of PACIFIC because only patients without any severe signs of pulmonary toxicity following chemo-rad were eligible to go to randomization. So this was a positive selection of patients.
But I mean, couldn't you develop pulmonary toxicity later, though, theoretically?
Yes, but the percentage of patients who develop late onset radiotoxicity is very, very small. And then it's really very hard to differentiate. So we also have seen the severe pulmonary toxicity in a group of patients receiving placebo. And this clearly was pulmonary toxicity as a late onset coming from chemoradiotherapy. The percentage was low, but it is there. But I think we cannot differentiate this from immunotherapy-related pulmonary toxicity because they can have each figure of interstitial toxicity that you can see on the CT scan.